honoring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler, brought to you by this local station and its sponsors, and presented everywhere, on the air and online, by Provident Payments, one of the fastest-growing payment consultants in America. Connect today at providentpayments.com.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, visiting with 99-year-old Jim Parker. We've heard all about the mission that earned him the Distinguished Flying Cross in December 1943, but he's not even sure that situation is the one that challenged him the most out of his 53 missions in World War II. Is there anything else about those 53 missions that you're particularly proud of or you think is noteworthy?
I had about three interesting ones. We were stationed right out of Tunis in Tunisia, on Athens, Greece. We were on the bomb run. The flak was what it was supposed to be, moderate to heavy. You could hear the pieces hit the airplane every now and then. Just as my last bomb, you had a light in the cockpit as the bomb was released. The last bomb released, I thought I saw something move. I looked over number four engine, all pressure zero. So I fatted it real quick, and I saw another flip, and I looked. Number three engine, all pressure, feathered. So right on the end of the bomb run at Athens, Greece, I lose two engines on the same side. And this was a heavy airplane. I was one of only about three pilots that ever got it over the target. It just using too much fuel, and I knew they wasn't going to make it home. So we had an order that you safety first and bomb second. Don't tell the 15th Air Force. Anyway, I knew I wasn't going to get back to Tunis. That was it. We had a different navigator that day. Oh boy, weighed nearly 300 pounds. We'd thrown out all the ammunition after we got clear of where fighters would be. And then I started telling the gunners to throw out the guns. And I said, now some of you come up front and we'll dump the navigator.
I bet he didn't appreciate that.
Oh, he was scared then. He was a young guy, but boy, was he big. So I had seen the Muskegon Airmen's fighter strip. They were flying P-40s at that particular time.
The Tuskegee Airmen.
In Sicily. Uh-huh. I told my co-pilot, I said, we're landing on that 99th runway at Sicily because we're not going to make it to Tunis. So we come in there and land, and the old colonel that ran the outfit, what the hell are you doing landing on my runway? I said, I didn't know it was your runway, colonel. He says, I run this airport. I said, it's in Sicily. That's part of Italy as far as I'm concerned. And they didn't tell me I couldn't land here. Oh, he was red hot. He went to get some of his younger pilots. He figured they could deal with me better. And I said, top turret gunner was an expert mechanic. And so he gets out on four, and it was obvious it shot the head off a cylinder. So we go to three. They'd cut the oil line hose on it, so all we need was a hose, and he had that in stock. So that fixed number three. I said, have you got any thin plate material, metal plate material, and gasket material? And he got his hand that knew where everything was. So here he had me a sheet of gasket material and pretty good sized piece of tin. Couldn't be aluminum because it's too soft. We took the cylinder off, and then we took the piston out, and we disconnected it from the master. I said, okay, we had the nuts and the bolts. Get holes drilled in that plate to go down on it. We screwed that down good and tight, so I've got one engine with one cylinder missing. So get out, and believe it or not, I think they did all that in about 20 minutes.
Wow.
Everybody was in on the job, his people and mine. And so he said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to take off and go back to Tunis. You better not start that four engine with that cylinder off. I said, well, you can watch from the side. So started the three, and I run them up, and they were all real good. And I waved to them, and I started taxing out. And then on the way out, I started number four. I get the other runway, and I give all four of them a go. And God, it was shaking like hell over there. I don't think I got 50 feet in the air until I feathered at four. But I'm in the air with three engines and the gear up, and we made it back to Tunis. That was probably the only time in my life that I had an urgency in the takeoff.
I'm not sure that you're going to get off.
Yeah. A concern, I guess, is a better word. But it's a profession that requires all of your attention, but it's so much fun that that seems like it's pleasant, not unpleasant. I give it credit for me getting to the age I am.
Sure.
I have all these stories to go back to. Whatever my mood is, I'll pick one that the other side of the mood, and I'm back on track.
You have how many flight hours in your career?
23,000 hours.
23,000 hours. In a whole lot of different airplanes.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have pictures in there. In fact, I can show you of every airplane I flew.
How long is that list?
Oh, it's 22.
22. If you were a passenger and they needed somebody to hop in the pilot seat.
I'd fly anything, anytime, anywhere if need be.
I'm not surprised to hear you say that. And I understand in your career as a corporate pilot, you flew a few famous names, huh? You had some well-known passengers on your plane?
Well, Frank Sinatra was a good buddy of mine.
Yeah.
Arnold Palmer.
Uh-huh.
Senator Strom Thurmond. John Connally, governor of Texas for 3, 4, 5, 6 years.
I'm sure you have a good Frank Sinatra story.
Oh, I went to work for Martin Aviation in Orange County Airport, and they had a contract with him. They briefed me for 2 hours how to act, talk, and all when I picked up Sinatra. I said, well, how about these other people? Well, they don't make any difference. But he was a fun guy to talk with. Finally, one day he says, do you like my autograph? And I said, no. And he looked kind of surprised. I looked at him and I said, well, can I change my mind? Oh, sure, big grin on his face. I said, okay, you got a blank check on the account that's just loaded with money? Sign on the signature line and I'll have your autograph. He cracked up. He looked at me and said, hell, you don't want my autograph. I said, it's your damn name. You do what you want to with it. I said, if you'd asked me for mine, I wouldn't have given it to you. He says, I believe you. We had a lot of fun together picking at each other. I tried to give everybody the safest, smoothest ride that was physically possible.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the guy that got it. He saw how I paid attention to every detail. But he was the passenger I had that I enjoyed the most.
I'm sure there's tons more stories.
Well, airplanes got you in situations and places. I don't have a lot of horror stories. They might have been to some people. But my two great fears, we flew the 52s at 45,000 feet. And you got about 3 seconds life if the oxygen fails.
Yeah.
And getting the 52 down out of that, I had it all figured out. The first thing I do is chop the throttles and I hit the spoilers. And the spoilers throw the nose down and keep it from going too fast. And you'd come to maybe before you got down.
You'd hope.
If you passed out.
I'm glad you never had to find out.
I never did, but...
Well, and on that topic, if you flew 22 different aircraft, is there one that, in your mind, was your favorite?
Oh, Learjet.
Yeah.
Learjet, to me, was like putting on your best-fitting, comfortable pair of pants every morning.
Hmm.
I closed the door on that airplane. I was in control. I had an experience, my second tanker was short of fuel, so he wouldn't give me a normal offload. Now, the 52, you don't know this, and I'm not telling you this, every flight we had four nuclear bombs. Each one of them was capable of wiping out any city in the world. And So we were not only up there flying 24 hours, we had targets and we had bombs. And a little 52, God, what an airplane.
I think that's something that maybe we don't talk about enough, because we can talk about your 53 missions in World War II, and we know those are things that happened. With the B-52, as much as prolific as that aircraft has been and continues to be,
right,
the thing that always captivates me is what didn't happen. But you guys were up there, as you said, keeping those bombers flying 24 hours a day to really deter nuclear war.
Russia knew exactly what we had.
Yeah.
And they knew that we could be on target before they could do a damn thing about it.
And did you go through that in your mind?
Well, I went through the ritual of a prayer, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
Ask God, just don't blow the whistle today. The old 36, I flew the last one of those that ever flew.
Really?
I flew one from the Tucson storage area to Wright Field. The Air Force got funding for a new museum.
Yeah.
And it was just about the time we phased out the Biggs there, had the last wing of 36s operationally. And the Pentagon, somebody called my wing commander in El Paso, said, we know that you phased out all your 36s, but do you have a pilot that you would recommend that would fly one from the boneyard up here to Wright Field? He and I were buddies. Oh, what time do you want him to pick up the airplane? 2 days later, we were over in Tucson, pre-flighting this old dog. And I said, we're going to save you from the wolves here. We're going to get you out of this aluminum
graveyard
here and take you to a smaller one. You ever go to the Air Force Museum, that old 36 set in the middle of it? I flew it in there. May 29th, 1959, from Tucson Boneyard to Wright Field.
I'm sure there's a lot of people listening who have been to the Air Force Museum there in Dayton, Ohio, and they've seen that B-36. It's hard to miss. It's the biggest plane there.
230-foot wingspan.
I don't want to forget to say thank you. Thank you for serving our country.
Well, don't worry about that.
And thank you for telling a story that only you could tell us. I'm curious, is there something at 99-plus years old that as you look back over everything we've talked about today and the rest of your life, is there something that you'd say you are most proud of?
Oh, the old 17, I probably, if it's not number one, it's number two, getting that totally crippled airplane back home and nobody getting hurt. But I know I didn't do it. I know God did it and gave me credit for it. But the old 36, it took off and it just flew forever. I think my longest flight was 32 hours from Guam to El Paso. We took off 10 o'clock at night. They had a moderate rainstorm going there on Guam. And I started to bark and wait because I knew it's a shower, so it's going to move on. And flight engineer finished his run up and they said everything's perfect. So I released the brakes and away I go. We get in the air and get the gear up, and then when we flew over the edge of the island, it's a pretty good sized cliff on the east side. It felt a little bump. And then we broke out top of the weather at about 8,000 feet. And never saw a cloud from then to El Paso. 32 hours, and we flew out that night. We flew all day the next day, all night the next night, and landed Biggs at about 8:30, I think, in the morning. all in 32 hours. Of course, we were the other side of the international date line.
Yeah.
And I told her, finance officer, he says, well, I don't know how the hell to figure this per diem. I said, well, just think about all that hours we had to sit in that airplane. Well, I'll just give them another hour.
There are a lot of pilots that listen to this program, guys that maybe flew in the service or are flying now or learning to fly. I have a nephew who's in basic at the Air Force Academy right now who wants to be a pilot. What advice would you have? What's the most important thing you think pilots or would-be pilots need to remember?
Be ready for anything. You can get a million words, but that's it. Be ready for anything.
Words of wisdom for pilots and for the rest of us. That's Jim Parker, 99 years old. Don't forget to visit hometownheroesradio.com for photos, videos, and a link to the first part of Jim's story if you missed that last time. That is all the time we have today, but thank you so much for listening. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.
To let Paul know about a veteran in your life, visit hometownheroesradio.com and click on Suggest a Veteran. Today's program has been brought to you by Provident Payments. Give your business the edge only their personalized service can deliver at providentpayments.com.